Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, the Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri, and the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally on 29 AM and FM radio stations 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide on the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit my webpage, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law news and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on Christmas right after this message. You know, once in a while we get a glimpse of the real world through the eyes of an insider. An insider like John Swinton, for instance. He was the former editor of the New York Tribune. Here's what he had to say to the New York Press Association on February the 26th, 1936. Here's what he said. He said, quote, "There's no such thing as a free and independent press in America, unless it's in some country town. And there's not one of you who dares to express an honest opinion because you know beforehand that it would never appear in print. Now, I'm paid $150 a week for keeping my honest opinions out of the paper that I'm connected with, and others of you are paid for doing similar things. Now, if I should permit my honest opinions to be printed in one issue of my paper, like Othello, before 24 hours, my occupation would be gone. Our business is to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, and to sell his race and his country for his daily bread. We are," he said, "the tools of rich men behind the scenes. We are intellectual prostitutes." Unquote. Now, these rich men behind the scenes are the movers and shakers of this Global 2000 program and the New World Order. They are the men and families like the Windsors and the Rockefellers, Bushes, Bundys, Carnegies, and Vanderbilts. That's why I contend that we ought to wise up and start listening more to the God of Abraham and stop following after all these crazy scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians. And let's prepare to live through and survive this global 2000 and New World Order insanity. If you'd like to learn more about Global 2000 and Bible prophecy and this New World Order, why don't you call and order my four-hour compact disc package. Remember, it's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative. Best of all, it's free of charge. And you can call and order yours right now. The number is 417-273-4967. If you're online, you can go to the webpage to place your order. It's georgegordon.org. Simple enough, georgegordon.org. Click onto the email machine when you get to the website and send your email request. Do it right now before you forget. georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. While we're talking about those free general law CD packages, we've shipped out probably 50 in the last week. In two different mailings. I've gotten two or three calls, and if you haven't received yours, say by the first of the year, this is Christmas rush hour, you know, or rush week, so if you don't receive it by the first of the year, call me and let me know. Otherwise, it should be in the mail, as they say. Your check is in the mail, well, your CD package is in the mail. Christmas. I waited a little bit too long to put this program on. I guess I should have started a week earlier, but it's probably for the best because I wouldn't want to spoil your holidays by telling you the truth about Christmas before Christmas Day. So this should be aired about December the 26th, the day after Christmas. You ever wonder about Christmas? It's the biggest commercial holiday of the year. And I say commercial because this is big business. One-third of all of the retail sales made in America, one-third, are made in that 30-day period between the day after Thanksgiving and December the 24th. Can you believe that? One-third. Businesses hang on the Christmas holiday season, and it makes a difference between a profitable year or a losing year. Now, I've never been in a business that was Christmas dependent. And I can sympathize with the merchants that are so geared to a holiday that if it fails, if their sales don't increase over last year, it can mean the difference between survival or failure in business. So they spend a lot of time worrying about it. I thought Christmas was the birthday of Jesus. That's what I'd heard when I was a kid. Somebody told me that Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you know, the character of the New Testament, the main character of the Bible, was born on December the 25th at approximately zero, you know, the year zero. And then we got to looking at that, and well, no, he wasn't born at exactly zero. He was born maybe a year or two before that. And then some other guys got to looking at it, and they said, well, no, it's probably more like about 4 BC, about 4 years before zero. So this year they call it the year 2004. It's actually maybe 2008. That's because we kind of lost track of counting. And why would we want to count after Jesus' birthday? How come we're not counting after Confucius' death day? Or maybe George Washington's inauguration day? Do you ever stop and wonder why it is that we do the things that we do? I mean, we're just kind of born into society, aren't we? We just pick up on those customs. I remember as a kid, they used to have a guy on the train, Ted the brakeman, bring us down our Christmas tree out of the woods every year. My granddad was the mill superintendent at Northern Redwood Lumber Company, and so Ted, of course, he wanted to butter up to my granddad, and so he'd bring us a Christmas tree every year, and we never went to church. I mean, it wasn't because we were religious people by any means. I never spent a day in church, but we always had a Christmas tree, and we had one of those Christmas trees that had an angel on top. So you get an angel or you get a star on top of your tree. Did you ever notice that? How come you don't put a bust of Mao Zedong on top of your tree, or Joe Stalin, or maybe George Washington or Ulysses S. Grant? It's always a star or an angel, isn't it? I mean, you don't put an ornament up there. And then our trees have bulbs and orbs on them. And they're red and gold, or they're green and red and gold, or they're silver and gold and red and green. Do you ever notice there's certain colors that go with Christmas? Orange goes with what's that holiday? Halloween. Orange and black go with Halloween. Well, that makes a lot of sense. You're talking about witchcraft, Satanism, black arts, witchcraft. And so witches dress in black, and so do our judges. They dress in black also. Did you ever notice that? I don't know if there's a correlation there, but just thought I'd bring it to your attention. And then at Christmas time, we have these colors that just kind of go along with a green fir tree coming out of the woods, and we deck it with gold and silver. Ah, there's some red that goes on there too, but let's take a look at some of these customs, and let's take a look at Christmas as it's really practiced here in the United States. It's kind of a wild time of year. It's kind of a special merchandising time of the year. And we'll tie that in with Jesus, and we'll see how that all works out. Well, Black Friday sets the tone for the retail season. A survey finds that the average consumer plans to spend 4.5% more this year than last year. So they've got this all scoped out. You and I, in the celebration of Jesus' birthday, are going to spend 4.5% more money than we did last year. Are we buying presents for Jesus? I mean, you know, when you go to somebody's birthday, you usually bring a birthday present to the person who's having a birthday. Now, one of the first things that I noticed about Christmas is that you and I are busily exchanging gifts among ourselves, but I don't see anything going to Jesus. Well, that's because he's dead and buried. But I'd heard that he was resurrected. Well, nobody believes in resurrections because everybody's going to heaven when they die. So people that die go to heaven. People that are bad when they die, they go to hell. Well, you remember that story, don't you? From Sunday school? So when we ask ourselves some pragmatic questions like, what in the world has this got to do with Jesus' birthday? And what does a 4.5% sales increase over last year have to do with the price of putty, or with salvation, or with religion, or with church, or with God, or Jesus, or anything else? Why are we even discussing sales in the same breath that we're talking about Jesus? What's that got to do with anything? Well, it's got quite a bit. And so if you're reading this, congratulations, you have survived Black Friday. It's the retail world's nickname for the day after Thanksgiving. The day is called Black Friday because, symbolically at least, it can mean the difference between stores finishing the year profitably in the black or painfully in the red. And although it is a myth that Black Friday usually is the busiest shopping day of the holiday period, that typically comes on the last Saturday before the holiday. It often does set a tone for the season. I wanted you to notice that the Saturday before Christmas Eve, Saturday, is that the Sabbath day, is the busiest shopping day of the year. On the Sabbath day, aren't you supposed to rest? Aren't you prohibited from buying, selling, or trading? Now somebody's going to say, but Sunday is the Sabbath. Well, okay, have you ever seen a store between Thanksgiving and Christmas closed on Sunday? And how come people are out here buying, selling, and trading on the Sabbath day? So that I'd throw that out there for your consideration. Well, as of Saturday, you only have 28 shopping days left to survive before Christmas. So good luck. Now, this was written on 12/11. 28 shopping days left to survive before Christmas. Now, there's about 28 shopping days, depending upon whether Thanksgiving comes early or late. I mean, if Thanksgiving is the last Thursday of November, so if Thanksgiving occurred on Thursday, November the 1st, you'd have 29 days between Thanksgiving and Christmas. If it occurs late, that is, if it occurred on, say, the 7th of Thanksgiving, you get 6 less shopping days. Now, these 6 shopping days are very important in the Christmas season to retailers and merchants everywhere. Now, listen to this. A survey of the National Retail Federation found that the average consumer plans to spend $702.03 on the 2004 holidays. That's up 4.5% from last year. That includes everything from gifts, greeting cards, candy, food, and flowers, but not the average of $89.25 that consumers expect to spend on purchases for themselves. Now listen, these merchants have you pretty well scoped out, boys and girls. They tell us that I'm going to spend $89.25 on myself, and I'm going to spend $702.03 on the 2004 holidays. Well, I'm not practicing Christmas and haven't for many years, so I'm not spending $89 on myself, and I ain't spending $702 on you. Now, how do you like them apples? But I'm out here buying stuff just like everybody else does, you know, between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Are they counting that in also? Because I'm not spending it for Christmas. So how do they separate out Christmas from ordinary spending? Huh? Well, consumers want to reward themselves for a job well done, and the savviest shoppers know that this is the best time of the year to find great deals. Just read a statement from NRF President and CEO Tracy Mullen. Hang on a second here. I find these lies hard to fathom. You mean to tell me that in a period of time between Thanksgiving and Christmas is the best time of the year for you to get a deal? I find that hard to believe. It would seem like to me that merchants are going to raise their prices when they know that everybody is out here buying. I find that the best time to be buying is right after Christmas so that I can take advantage of all of the stock that didn't sell. You know, I noticed, for instance, just to give you an idea, that on the 26th, 27th, 28th, and 29th, that is the 4 days after Christmas, you're going to find that the prices are less. Why don't you just test me? Go into a store today and look at the prices. And then note those down. Write them down now so that you got something to go by. Then walk into the same store the day after Christmas and take a look at how those prices have been knocked down to get rid of that merchandise so that the guy doesn't have to hang on to it for another year. Well, unless, of course, he's selling 5/16 flat washers, in which case he knows he's going to sell those later on down the road. But I'm talking about the Christmas inventory, the Christmas merch that's been brought in to sell for Christmas. Just take a look at wrapping paper the day after Christmas. So if you want to save money, you buy your wrapping paper for Christmas 2005 in the week after Christmas. That's the 26th through the 1st of January. That's when you want to buy your Christmas wrapping paper. And listen, you want to buy your Christmas cards and get a hell of a deal on them. You want to buy them this year for next. It's kind of like buying your flu vaccine. If you want to be prepared for flu season next year so that you're not left out in the cold wondering whether or not you're going to get your flu shot, you order it now a year in advance. Furthermore, you'll get a better price. Better price. Apparently, the biggest rewards are wanted by men who will spend an average of $116.87 on themselves and young adults who will treat themselves to $114.69 in gifts. I mean, they get this right down to the penny. They've been watching the census reports. They take surveys. They keep records and notes and books. I'll bet you did not know that you were going to spend $116.87 on yourself this year, you white American male. And Professor Richard Feinberg, he's a researcher with the Purdue University Retail Institute, predicts a sales increase of 4% to 7% this year over last year. Ball State University retail analyst James Lowry offered a similarly rosy forecast, predicting sales of 4% to 6% more than in 2003. Now, the economy has turned out much better than many people originally thought, despite all of the uncertainty over Iraq and the presidential elections. And it may not be the kind of increases that we saw during the economic boom of the 1990s, but right now, it stacks up to be a good Christmas season. Did you notice that the way they measure a good Christmas season is in retail sales? It's not in how many people went to church or how many people were converted to Jesus or how many people prayed to Jesus last week, which was what I thought that this program was all about. You know, I think that Christmas has a hell of a lot less to do with Jesus and a whole lot more to do with business than we'd like to talk about. Now, don't you? Now, I don't mind business. I'm a businessman, and I love business. I just don't love the charades that go along with it. I don't like the hypocrisy. You know, if you want to sell me something, come into my office, sit down, let's talk. Don't come in here and tell me about sweet Jesus away in a manger and how I'm going to spend $119 or $18 on myself, and how you got me all scoped out over here, and I'm going to spend 4.5% more this year than I did last year. Because that tells me quite a little story. That tells me that you're keeping track of me. You're keeping better track of me than I'm keeping track of me. And that doesn't have good bodes for me. That has good bodes for you, but not for me. Well, now, going on, they say internet sales are expected to continue to grow this year to about $12 to $13 billion. Now, that's still only about 6% of the $220 billion of holiday sales. Now, online shoppers usually start shopping earlier than those who shop strictly at brick and mortar stores. A survey by the bizrate.com found 53% of online shoppers got started in early October. Many shoppers who eventually make their purchases in stores also use the internet to research and compare prices beforehand, Feinberg noted. Ah, so the people now are involved in this, and they're using the internet to find out where the best buys are because they intend to spend a lot of money during the Christmas season. Can you tell me when did this get started? Did we find this in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, where Jesus instructed his disciples that when the Christmas season comes up and you're ready to celebrate my birthday every year, that you should be online shopping for the best prices for the gifts that you're going to be giving to your friends, relatives, and neighbors? Is there any scriptural basis for all of this gift giving and gift buying in this commercial season? And if there isn't, then how did it get involved with the Mass of Christ, which is a Roman Catholic holiday? Now, that's my understanding of it. Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Mass of Christ and Christ Mass a Roman Catholic religious holiday? Well, then, it kind of reminds me of fish on Friday. How come we're not eating fish on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, or Sunday? Well, how come we're eating fish on Friday? How come we're even celebrating Jesus' birthday anyway? How come we're not celebrating his death day and resurrection, which would be Passover, his death day, and resurrection instead of Easter? I mean, it's kind of a wild concept to be asking these kinds of questions. But I want to know, what in the hell has Walmart got to do with the Bible? What has Walmart got to do with Jesus? Walmart's busy selling the stuff, but why? Where'd that come into the equation? And I'm not opposed to Walmart selling stuff. I'm just asking the question, how come they're selling stuff on Jesus' birthday? How come they ain't selling it on George Washington's birthday? And why is it that we want to buy all this stuff and exchange all these gifts on Jesus' birthday? Is there some instruction in the Bible that we should be keeping Jesus' birthday holy? You know, kind of like Passover or Easter or something like that. Now, the boom in internet shopping has produced one trend that Feinberg refers to as Grinchy. About 60% of online shopping is done at work, leading to a drop in office productivity. Well, that's just theft, isn't it? I mean, you're working for me, and I'm paying you $10 an hour. And you take a half an hour, and you go online shopping on my computer in my office, and you take from me that half hour of work and productivity. Isn't that stealing from me? Uh-huh. And didn't Jesus tell you, thou shalt not steal? Isn't that where that idea and that concept came from? So here we are, stealing from the boss so that we can buy Christmas presents to exchange with our friends and ignore Jesus on December 25th, which wasn't his birthday anyway, now was it? Have you ever heard that story before? That Jesus wasn't born on December the 25th. And that's another kicker. If he wasn't born on December the 25th, then how come we're celebrating Jesus' birthday on December the 25th? How come not March 16th or July 9th or September the 14th or something? I mean, you know, let's just pick out some other date, some other time of the year. I'm coming to that. I'm going to answer that, but I thought I'd throw the question out. Did you ever wonder about that? Can you see why I needed to save this until December the 26th? My God, if I was to do a story like this on December the 19th, it would spoil Christmas for everybody. Now, Christmas is a wonderful time of the year. Everybody's happy and jumping up and down, giving gifts and all the good stuff that goes along with Christmas. Did you know that Christmas is also the peak season or the peak time of the year for suicide? Yeah. More people commit suicide between Thanksgiving and Christmas than in any other 30-day period of the year. So if Christmas is such a good time of the year, why are so many people despondent and taking their lives? Well, that's not you and me, though. We're just happy as clams at high tide because we're giving gifts and we're about buying at Walmart and we're jumping up and down, pawing the ground, biting the bushes and doing all those things that happy people do at Christmas now, aren't we? Stealing from the boss, using his time to buy Christmas presents, not for Jesus, whose birthday it is, but for somebody else, whose birthday it ain't. So Christmas is birthday time, and we're out busily buying presents. We're boosting the economy, And the difference between success and failure in a retail merchant's year is in this 30-day period of time. That we're celebrating Jesus' birthday, but we all know he wasn't born on December the 25th. Now, we call dogs dumb animals and humans intelligent, now, don't we? All right, tuck that one away in your heart now. Online sales drop off after the December 17th to 24th period, the week before Christmas, because of the time required to ship gifts that are purchased. And that's the same time during which conventional retailers ring up about 35% of their sales, making it the busiest week of the season. So that last week before Christmas is the busiest time of the year. 2 weeks before Christmas this year, December the 10th to the 16th, will be the second busiest week of the season, Feinberg predicted. The third busiest will be the week between Christmas and New Year's, as shoppers exchange gifts, spend gift cards, and hunt for bargains. It's a spending orgy, isn't it? This first week of December is generally the slow spot of the season, but it could get a little help from an earlier than usual Hanukkah, which begins the evening of December the 7th. So we don't want the Jews to be left out. We're going to bring those Jews in too. And then the blacks, they're into this too. There's some kind of a holiday that comes from Africa that's aimed at this period of time. I just wonder, could it be that Christmas, Hanukkah, and this African feast all have a least common denominator, all go back to a similar period of time? That'd be interesting to look at, wouldn't it? Well, there's the story on the retail part of Christmas. Now, have you heard of the 12 days of Christmas? The 12th day of Christmas, my true love said to me. You ever heard that song? Well, why is Christmas 12 days long? Now, when was the last time that you had a birthday with 12 days in it? Mull that one over for a minute. Christmas isn't one day. This isn't Jesus' birthday. This is 12 days of Christmas, and it begins on December the 21st. What happens on December the 21st? December the 21st? March 21st, June 21st, and September 21st. What happens on those 4 days of the year? Those are called the equinoxes, aren't they? It's four of them. That's when the days become the shortest or the longest of the year, or they're right exactly in the middle. So, spring and fall, the days are of equal lengths, 12 hours. And then when you get to Christmas, December the 21st, that's the shortest day of the year. And then June 21st is the longest day of the year. Now, these periods of time, these equinox dates, are very important in antiquity, especially for pagan religion. Of course, we're Christians, and we're not practicing pagan religion now, are we? I mean, we're worshiping Jesus, and we're practicing Jesus' birthday on December the 25th, which wasn't his birthday. During the 12 days of Christmas, which is a pagan festival that comes from ancient Babylon. But we're going to Christianize this, and we're going to clean it up, and we're going to make it real good, or gooder. Or, what was that? It's getting curiouser and curiouser as time goes by. Now, isn't it? Well, Black Friday, lends itself to the 12 days of Christmas. Listen to this. In 1984, after all the receipts were added up, the cost of the 12 days of Christmas would have set you back $12,623, the goods alone accounting for 62% of your total bill. Today, the numbers tell a little different story. The total cost has now climbed to $17,297. That's a 1.6% annualized increase over 20 years. But services now account for 74% of the index, indicating a steady rise in the cost of skilled labor, while the price of two turtle doves and three French hens may be a little easier on your wallet. Now, every year since 1984, PNC Advisors has provided a tongue-in-cheek economic analysis based on the cost of goods and services purchased by the True Love in the holiday classic called The 12 Days of Christmas. The Christmas Price Index has consistently reflected changes in the economy and continues to do so in the 20th anniversary version. The 2.4% year-to-year increase in the index closely mirrors that of the government's Consumer Price Index, a widely used measure of U.S. inflation. Not only is the high cost of fuel reflected in the cost to deliver a pear tree, but this year's index also underscores the trend to outsource labor. Skilled labor mentioned in the song, such as wages for the dancing ladies, have increased 5.5% annualized over 20 years. The supply and demand lessons of Economics 101 are also apparent in this year's index. Take, for example, the 29.4% decrease in the price of the 5 gold rings. International demand has driven the commodity price of gold to all-time highs, but demand for plain gold rings in the United States has seen a significant drop, forcing retailers to lower prices in order to move their merchandise. So those considering a trip to the jeweler to find that special gift this year may want to consider adding a little sparkle to you, so that you could find yourself standing in the return line on the 26th of December. The return line on the 26th of December. The return line. Oh, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that you're going to come in here and give me a Christmas present? You're going to give me a birthday present for Jesus. We're not going to give the present to Jesus. You're going to give the present to me, and then I'm going to take it in and exchange it for something that I really want? What in the world is that all about? Hey, this isn't an ordinary birthday party now, is it? I mean, this Christmas is a birthday party, but it's a birthday party that's a little different than what we're used to at birthday parties now, isn't it? And it is a birthday party for Jesus. The 12 days of the birthday party of Jesus, which begins with the winter equinox on the 21st and lasts 12 days. And if we actually bought these items that are listed in the 12 days of Christmas, you know, like a partridge and 3 French hens and 5 gold rings, it would cost us $17,000 to participate and practice the 12 days of Christmas. Now, the feathered friends in the song are flying at all altitudes and have proven to show the most fluctuation in price through the life of the index. The partridge and swans are relatively steady for last year, according to the Cincinnati Zoo and Botanical Garden. However, the price for French hens and geese saw significant increases, which may be to fewer hatchlings during this breeding cycle, creating an imbalance in the supply-demand chain, with turtle doves, on the other hand, may have had a more fruitful breeding cycle, creating an oversupply of birds and a 31% decline in price. Altogether, the cost of the birds in the Christmas Classic total $4,201, just 1.5% more than the $4,138 that it would have cost last year. Now, the Christmas Price Index reflects the changing economic mix in the United States away from manufacturing to a more service-based economy, and so said Jeff Kleintop. He's the chief investment strategist for PNC Advisors. PNC, that's the outfit that put this program together called The 12 Days of Christmas and What It Costs. The abundance of cheaper labor in countries such as India and China has resulted in pressure on the United States manufacturers to outsource unskilled labor. So as a result, the cost of skilled dancers has steadily increased, while the unskilled milkmaids haven't managed an increase in pay for their services for many years. As part of its annual tradition, PNC Advisors also tabulates the true cost of Christmas, which is this year, total cost of all the items in the famous Christmas Carol, including the repetitions. The price tag for the 36 items this holiday season is $66,334, up from $65,264 in 2003. The 1.6% increase pales compared to last year's 19% increase, which may be due to lower consumer confidence this season, according to Kleintop. As in the past, most items are more expensive to buy over the Internet, primarily due to the cost of shipping, which continues to go up because of the rising fuel costs. This is put out by PNC Bank, by the way. So now we got the bankers involved in Christmas, working out the costs of the 12 days of Christmas. And it's, you know, it's kind of a fun, tongue-in-cheek kind of a program, but just keep in mind, bankers are very concerned about Jesus' birthday during the 12 days of Christmas, for which Jesus wasn't even born on December the 25th. This is the biggest shopping period of the entire year, one-third of all retail sales being done in this 30-day period. Well, this is starting to tell us a pretty good little story here now, isn't it? And that's not all, but I got to give you a warning. The opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. So don't blame it on the network, because they don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management or staff of the network, or of this radio station. For more information about the law or an editorial review, please go to my website. That's georgegordon.org, or call the law school itself, 417-273-4967. That's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. But for goodness sakes, don't blame it on the advertisers or sponsors. I mean, they're straight shooters. Now, credit cards come into the fray here during the Christmas season. Got any credit cards, boys and girls? Well, more than 140 million people will purchase their holiday gifts with credit cards this year. But what many consumers may not know is that credit card companies could raise their interest rates without warning. Well, isn't that just special? Now, that isn't in the Christmas spirit, is it? To raise your credit card interest rates without even telling you. Now, you talk about Scrooge, huh? Hey, these bankers over here kind of sound Scroogey to me. NBC's Kevin Tibbles brings you this insider report on what you can do to protect yourself. The buy now, pay later strategy drives the retail economy. The holiday season, some 145 million people are going to make purchases with their credit cards. Store manager Dave Munier says they're always slapping down plastic, always, especially in the holiday season. But it may not be as simple as that. In fact, credit card companies can raise your interest rates by as much as 30% without you even knowing about it. It's called universal default, and it happens when there's a dip in your credit score. It could be because of a late or a missed utility bill, car loan, or even a payment for some other credit card. Linda Sherry of Consumer Action tells us that this is an anti-consumer practice. Sounds kind of anti-Christmas to me, too. Because people have always paid on time with one credit card company, and they think they have a good credit record with that credit card company, then suddenly along comes an increase. That's because they don't keep track of your credit card payment records, at least not individually. So if you're making all of your payments on your Visa card, but you let your Shell Oil card go late, well, then Visa and everybody else, when they get your overall score in, which is kept by one of these national companies like Westinghouse or somebody, and then they're going to bump up your interest rates, and it could be as much as 30%. Wow. Take a look at that. That ain't too Christmassy, is it? And they want to make sure that the person today and their credit history is the same as when they first issued that card. So they want to make sure that there's been no changes in that person's credit history that would give them concern. So explains Jim Jim Chasen. He's of the American Bankers Association. Experts encourage consumers to be vigilant. Pay attention to the fine print. Don't be afraid to ask about your credit card company's policies. Linda Sherry says to be responsible. The most obvious thing that consumers can do to avoid universal default is to pay on time. Did you get that, boys and girls? Hey, listen. The best thing you can do to avoid universal default is to pay on time. God, that's a no-brainer. But short of that, they can ask this question when they sign up for a new card. Once again, this shopping season, it's buyer beware as the purchases ring up in December. Now, you should try to enjoy Christmas without a debt hangover. Maneuvering through the holiday shopping gauntlet and not ending up with a stack of credit card bills when the Christmas tree comes down can be a real challenge. But experts say that avoiding the shopping pitfalls that are common during the holiday season can help consumers start the new year without a debt hangover. First of all, forego the offer of credit card companies to skip a monthly payment. Skipping a payment only increases the cost of the credit because interest continues to stack up on the unpaid balance. During this period of time, the payment is delayed. Eventually, the debt and the accrued interest will come due. Ah, so the banker is saying to you, well, listen, why don't you just skip your January payment? And then we'll carry your interest payment forward for that 30 days. Now, here's a little trick for you to keep in mind. These credit card companies can keep track of your credit in four ways. Watch this. So we can do it annually. That is, we could charge you 15% per annum. That is, you could have $100 worth of credit, and then you don't pay us anything for one entire year, and just pay us $115 at the end of the year. Now, that's the way people calculate credit. Or we could do it monthly. See, we could take that credit and we could divide it up 12 ways. That is, we're going to charge you 15% interest, but we'll charge you the 15% interest monthly. That is, we'll accrue it every 50 or every 30 days. So that instead of getting, you know, $15 at the end of the year, we'll get $18. Then we could do it weekly. That is, we'll compound your interest 52 times. And I got a student come in here one time. She has a student loan, and they compound her interest daily. They divide it into 360 segments, and then they charge you interest on the interest on a daily basis. Daily, weekly, monthly, or annually. So when you went to public school, they taught you how to do your interest annually. That isn't the way it's done in the real world. So if you want to avoid this debt hangover, pay attention to the advice that you get from the bankers during the Christmas season, which honors Jesus' birthday, which wasn't on December the 25th, which is the biggest commercial buying binge of the entire season, which accounts for about one-third of all of our retail purchases. Isn't that just special? Now, a lot of credit card companies offer deferred payments, but that only delays the inevitable, said Steve Gillingham. He operates and is a manager at ABC Budget Service in Brookfield. The idea that some creditors offer to skip a payment is a problem in itself, said Gary Callaghan. He's a certified credit counselor at the Consumer Credit Counseling Service in Waukesha. It's an incentive to use credit cards, he said. But come January, the cold hard reality of how much was spent will begin to set in, he said. Nearly 28% of Midwesterners say that they'll charge gift purchases this holiday season. According to a November consumer survey by the National Retail Federation, and holiday sales are expected to increase 4.5% this year to $219.9 billion. That's $220 billion in round numbers, the survey showed. And 67% of Midwest shoppers say that they will spend as much as or more than they did in 2003. Another common technique by stores to get consumers to swipe the plastic is by offering discounts on merchandise if they sign up for and charge the purchase to the retailer's card. Let me pause right there and let me tell you what's going on here. When you buy a Ford automobile and you sign up and you pay $20,000 and you finance that through Ford Motor Credit, Ford will make more profit off of the interest that you pay than they will off of the automobile that they sell. In fact, the Ford Motor Company would not build automobiles at all, except that if they didn't, they wouldn't have anything to sell to put on their Ford Motor Credit plan. Now, let's think about this pragmatically. I'm an old-timey businessman. And I used to get a sales incentive from the associates. You see, what they would do, they would say to me, look, we charge 32% interest. Now, when the customer came into my store, I would say, this is 12% add-on interest. And you'd say, oh, 12% interest. No, no, it's 12% add-on interest. Yeah, yeah, it's another little gimmick. It runs a little bit ahead of daily compounding. That is, what we do is we sell you this product. Then we calculate the interest on the product, and then we charge you the interest first. Before you ever make a payment on the product itself, we charge you your monthly payments on the interest itself. So we get all of the interest back, and you still owe the same amount of money. So that way, you finance this for 36 months, and the first payments are on interest only. And we're charging you 32% interest. That's what it actually works out to be, 32% annual interest, but it's 32% interest called 12% add-on. It's all in the way you calculate it, boys and girls. And then they would pay me, if you came in and you said, well, I want to pay cash for that. And I'd say, well, why in the world would you want to pay cash and use your capital when you can charge this for only 12% add-on interest? I always had to make sure I put in the add-on, because otherwise it would be consumer fraud. If I said it was 12% interest, that's consumer fraud. But if I say it's 12% add-on, I think one or two people actually ask me, well, what in the world does add-on mean? Which would have forced me to have to explain to you that the real interest rate's 32%. No, I don't want to do that. That might squelch the sale. So I have to tell you that, well, it's a complicated methodology for calculating the interest to save you money. Now, do you believe for a minute that the bank or a finance company is going to calculate the interest in such a compound, complex way that it's going to save you money? You know, if you believe that, I got this bridge for sale. Now, tuck that one away in your heart. Now, another common technique by stores to get consumers to swipe the plastic is by offering you some kind of a deal to use your credit card so that we can get the interest off your credit card. Because we make more money off the interest on the credit card than we do off of the product that we're selling you, for crying out loud. Can you follow that? Now, the problems occur when the consumers later find they don't have the cash to pay off the full bill on the credit card and end up making payments, which is exactly what the retailers want you to do. See, if you make your minimum monthly payment on that credit card, it'll take you 27 years to amortize it out, and meanwhile, you bought $100 worth of goods, it's going to cost you $300 to pay off. So we'd much rather sell you on credit and plastic than we would to sell you for cash. And that's just where reality is. And that's because retailers know that most people are not going to pay it off at the end of the month. In addition, retailers bank on shoppers coming back into the stores at a later date with empty wallets and buy things that they can't afford. That's the objective here. We want you to buy things that you don't need, can't use, shouldn't have, and can't afford. And that's the consumer economy. And then we're going to buy all that stuff from China so we can run up our balance of payments deficit and bankrupt the nation. And if you don't think that's going to have some economic consequences now, boys and girls, it's time to wake up and smell the coffee. Christmas is a symptom, not a cause. Christmas is a symptom of overspending, of wild, loose aberrations. It's an orgy. It's a dreamland that we have fallen into that has consequences. Now, don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success, but when you go out and you drink too much, there's a hangover the next day. If you go out and you drink, and then you don't drink too much, you can have fun at the party, and you can get up and go to work the next day, and everything's going to be fine. But if you drink to excess, you know, and there's all these excesses, well, then there's that hangover that inevitably comes. And that's what happens here with credit cards. There's these hangovers that come. Now how are you going to pay the bill when you overspend? And don't think for a minute that the merchants haven't planned this into the program. Yeah? We want you to spend 4.5% more this holiday season than you spent last year. And we want you to spend it with your credit cards so that we can be charging you interest for the other 11 months of the year. And that's why you see so many of these store cards. I mean, you know, credit's good business. Credit is profitable business. I can sell you a $2,000 big screen TV for $4,000 over 60 months at 14, 15, 16% interest. And if you want to figure that out, what it's going to cost you, just take the number 72 and divide it by the interest rate. Say 14%, it doubles every 5 years. So if you're going to buy a car at 14%, that's 1.4% APR, that's 1.4% a month, that's about 16, 17% interest over 60 months, you're going to buy one car for you and one car for the dealer. Now let me show you a little something here. We have a thing in marketing which we call a keystone markup. A keystone markup is where I buy an easy chair in my furniture store for $150 and I sell it to you for $299.95. That's got a keystone markup in it. It means I'm going to double. Now, if I were to give you $150 and say, go out and invest this money in stocks and bonds, and you use those stocks and bonds, you bought them and they paid you 5% interest, it would double your capital in 14.7 years. And we call that good investment strategy. Now let's take a retail sale. A retailer has a spot in his store and he puts a Lazy Boy recliner in that spot. He buys the Lazy Boy recliner for $150. And he sells it to you for $300 and he makes $150 profit. That's a keystone markup. He doubled his money. Not in 1 year, boys and girls. He sells 12 of those out of that spot in a year. That's 1,200%. He has keystoned his original capital of $150 12 times during the year. By the way, that's where the money's at. It's in geometric progression. It's not in arithmetic progression. So you're working for wages for $20 an hour. That guy in the furniture store down there is keystoning his investment, and he does it every month. Imagine what he does if he could sell one of those a week. That's 52 times a year. That's why we compute in the retail business the value of the floor space. That's why in a retail store, you have to pay the retailer to stock your product in his store. Now, this marketing over here has got quite a little story to it. And not only are we making a lot of money, we're ripping you off in the process by encouraging you to buy and pay for this on time. And by the way, when you're paying for this on time, most of you people out there are used to 15% interest. 18, 20, 25% interest. Let me show you a little something here. the highest interest that I heard on a bank card is 27%. Take 72 and divide that by 27% interest, and it doubles every 2 2/3 years. That's 2 years and 8 months. So when you finance something at 27% interest on your credit card, let's just take $100, $1,000, whatever amounts on your credit card, and you're making the minimum monthly payments, every 2 years and 8 months, it doubles. It costs you twice as much every 2 years and 8 months. Now, boys and girls, if that isn't a ripoff, I don't know what is. I don't even know that the Cosa Nostra or the Mafia loan sharks get that kind of interest. Do they? Now, this comes from your local friendly bank. You know, Bank of America, Citicorp, Best Buy, Target. I mean, these are the guys that are charging that kind of interest. Now, Discover, they only charge you 15% interest. They're reasonable people, you know. So let's take 72 and divide that by 15% interest. And every 4.8 years, that's every 5 years, it doubles. And that's what happens when you buy an automobile. Just take your monthly payments and multiply those out times 60. That's 5 years. Or 48, that's 4 years. Or 36, that's 3 years. And see how much the dealer is making profit. Now, let's take this automobile. Let's say that this car is being sold for $10,000 at the retail level, or maybe $20,000 at the retail store. How much did the retail store pay for that? He paid $10,000 for it. Well, how much did it cost to make? Well, Ford made the car for $5,000 and sold it for $10,000. They keystoned their markup. The dealer took it for $10,000 and he sold it to you for $20,000, so he made $10,000. The dealer finances it through Ford Motor Finance for $20,000 for 5 years at 14% interest. Let's just figure this out. Let's just take $20,000 and let's multiply that times 0.14, so the total interest is $2,800. Well, wait a minute, that's $2,800 for the first year. My God, that's more than 10% of the value of the car for the first year. Ford Motor Finance gets that. Listen, Ford sold the car and made $5,000 on the car. Then the first year of financing, they made more than half the profit on the automobile in 1 year. Second year, now you paid some down on it, so maybe only owe, you know, $15,000 or $16,000. So take $16,000 times 0.14. That's $2,200. Ford doubled their money in the first 2 years by financing that automobile, but they're not through yet. They're still financing the automobile for 5 years. Can you see, boys and girls, that when these cars get refinanced or they get repossessed, it isn't Ford that takes it in the shorts. It's you, the consumer, that takes it in the shorts. Well, and that tells you the retail story of Christmas. We'll be back tomorrow night and we'll tell you about Christmas from the point of view of the Bible. So, I'm just about out of time, so I'm going to have to leave it right there. You've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. For more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, please go to the website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It's open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events, and we do that 7 days a week. Well, there's the signal. It says my time is up. I'm going to have to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.